Just out of curiosity, how many of y'all do not know me? Oh, well, that's a mess of you. No, I didn't say wish you didn't know me. I said, well, that's a bunch of you. That's good. I will apologize for ruining that blessing then tonight. So, all right. Good. As you said, my name is Mark Bailey, and I'm a preacher out of Central Baptist Church in Athens, Texas. Josh Spencer is my pastor. I got to stop and think because he's new. We've been without a pastor for about 6-8 months, and the Lord's finally given us one, and I got to remember his name. So anyway, we do have a preacher, though, and I represent Helping Hands Ministries, which is a local church outreach through Grace Baptist Church in Conway, Arkansas. Eddie Flowers pastors that work. And Brother Flowers started this ministry back in 1990. He made a mission trip down to Mexico to visit a couple of his missionaries. And he was appalled at their living conditions. And he said, I will be back with a load of food for you. And he's not stopped going back since. Now, by God's graces, we have been working together since May of 1994. And so that's almost 19 years he's put up with me. That's more than my parents put up with me. So that says something about God's graces, I think, right there. This ministry is a ministry of helps, a support ministry. And it started down in Old Mexico. And we work with the different Bible-believing Baptists, national pastors and missionaries. And Brother Flowers used to take down supplies every month. But because of the situation down there, he's now going about 3-4 times a year. And it is bad down there. It is dangerous. People are being murdered and robbed, molested. So, you know, because all things going on, he's not able to go down as much as he wants to. We are involved in about 5 orphanage ministries down there. And we do the same type of ministry of taking in supplies all over the states on Indian reservations, up in Canada with a couple of Indian churches, boys' homes, girls' homes, youth camps, new churches getting started, struggling churches, just wherever we can be a help and a blessing to, we go ahead and try and do it. That'll be better. Okay. All right. Okay. We'll try that. I don't have to start over again, do I? Okay, good. All right. One of the things I enjoy about Brother Flowers is that he allows me the freedom to basically do whatever I want to do in this ministry. And I do have some special projects of my own. One of them is we work with a church across the border from Eagle Pass, Texas, on the Mexican side. And every day they feed over 100 children one meal a day. And we have been blessed to be able to be part of that ministry. Now, before those kids eat, they get prayed over, they get sung with, and they get preached at every single day. Then they eat. And so all of the beans and rice and salt, sugar, flour, meal, cooking oil that we get our hands on, we go ahead and hang on to and take down there to them. We also work with a children's home over in Union, Mississippi, and take in supplies there at least 2-3 times a year. And I found out, though, that girls' home, or the children's home, they're the boys and the girls, that it's not always because those kids are delinquent kids. Some of those kids are there because of having delinquent parents. They got parents that cannot raise the kids. They're drunks, they're pedophiles, they're drug addicts. And because of that, for the safety of those children, they've got them in that children's home. So that children's home is, you know, really it's a haven of rest for those kids, a place of safety, a place where they can go ahead and be taught God's word. And so, you know, it's a joy to go ahead and be able to help them out there in that children's home. We also have another ministry that we take of personally, And this is East Side or East Denver Baptist Church in Denver, Colorado. And that church there has a street ministry where they go ahead and minister mainly to the street people. You know, the street people are a bunch of people that most churches want nothing to do with. You know, they kind of talk a little bit different. They dress a little bit different. They smell a little bit different. They act a little bit different. And so most churches want nothing to do with them. And any church that says we don't want nothing to do with people like that is a church that's saying, let them go to hell. We don't care. We don't want them in our church. Ooh. Too quiet. You know what I found out? The only way that a dope head's going to change, that a drunkard's going to change, that a whoremonger's going to change, that a down and outer, the only way they're going to change their lives is through Jesus Christ. And I speak that from experience. The only way I changed was by Jesus Christ. And I am what I am right now only by His grace. And I know what Jesus did for me, He can do for everybody else. But if we don't reach them for the gospel, if we don't go ahead and get off our high hobby horse and holier-than-thou attitude, if we're not willing to go ahead and take the gospel to them, witness to them, soul win to them, like the Bible teaches we're supposed to, amen, they're going to die in their sins and go to hell. But their blood is going to be required upon our hands because we've not done what we're supposed to do with them. So those are three areas where we work with myself personally. In fact, my trailer right now is about a third loaded down with clothes and blankets and winter coats. And also I've got about 50 folding chairs in the front of my trailer that we're going to be taking to that church that works with those street people. 2 weeks ago, we have grown the ministry, if that's the proper word, expanded the ministry. We heard of a situation out in Kentucky with the coal miners. Through the infinite wisdom of our political leaders, the coal mines are shut down out there in West Virginia and Kentucky. And in many of these areas, that's all it is coal mining. There is nothing else. And that means that the teenage boys and the men work in the mines and the females stay home. There's nothing else for them to do. And so they have been out of employment for months. There's a church out there, Faith Baptist Church, that we heard about. And they had a ministry of working with those coal miners, taking food, taking sandwiches into the school every day so that the kids that had no lunches would have something to eat, as well as feeding an average of 150 families every single month. And their warehouse was, when we got up there 2 weeks ago, it was absolutely bare, with the exception of a number of cases of outdated soda pop, and that's all they had. And we had two pickup trucks and two trailers loaded down from front to back, top to bottom. The trailers overloaded. Brother Flowers blew four tires going out there. And, man, those people were so happy to be able to get those supplies. I got some a few pictures of it there on the right side of my board. And we're going to start doing that all the time, taking stuff out there to help them reach those coal miners. Lord has given me three drivers for this ministry. One of them was a 73-year-old man out of our church, And he was one of the ones that went with Brother Flowers, and God just broke his heart. Now, he came back, and the next week when he got back, he had to go to Baylor Hospital there in Dallas, and they told him that he was ate up with bone cancer. No idea how long he's got left to live, but he come over to my place and said, Brother Mark, I have got to make at least one more trip out there to Kentucky. It doesn't matter what his health is. He says, if I can't drive, I'll get someone to drive me out there. But he said, Mark, I'm going to take another trailer load of nothing but food for those people out there. Man, that's, I'll tell you what an attitude, I think. What an attitude. There you got a man that's dying, and he's more concerned about those people that's without than he is his own health. I've got another driver in Texas. In fact, all of them are in Texas. I've got another driver, though, in Decatur, Texas, and Satan is fighting him also. He's an older gentleman, probably up in his 50s, and a single man, and he was dating another older woman, a widow woman, I believe it was. Anyway, her daughter wanted something for Christmas two Christmases ago, and he said, no, I'm not going to get it for you. And so she turned him in as molesting her. And he has been fighting that for over a year now. He's been in jail, has got out on bail, spent $15,000 on a lawyer. Lawyer didn't do a thing for him. And then last month found out, or pardon me, not last month, this month found out the lawyer has dropped him without doing a thing. He's out all that money, and the judge gave him 30 days to find another lawyer and then stand before the judge. God gave him a lawyer within 3 days, and the lawyer right now, I talked with him the other day, my driver, he said he's already got a private eye working the case and getting the facts, and that teenage girl has done this twice before. And so, folks, I want you to pray for him also, that he would be vindicated from this, and somehow maybe the authorities could do something with that girl to stop her from ruining people's lives, because that's all she's doing. And then I got a third driver in another church there in Texas, and there's no problem with him so far. But all three of those men have bought trailers so that they could either pick stuff up for me or make deliveries. And I enjoy that so much because it frees my time up to be able to be on the road. And also it gets other people involved in the ministry, and they pay for their own expenses. I don't have the money for them, for the fuel or anything else, and they pay for their own expenses, and that is a huge help for me right there. So this is what we're doing. Now, I've been on the road. Tomorrow will be a week. I've got another week up here in Nebraska, and Sunday morning I'll be in Beatrice, Sunday night over in North Platte, and then next Wednesday in Central City. And then a week from tomorrow, take off for Colorado for 5 weeks. And so this is what our schedule looks like. Do keep us in prayer, if you would, for Traveling Mercies. I've already picked up a bunch of stuff from y'all here. And the church there in Central City has got a bunch of stuff for me to pick up as well. And I've got a load of chairs that we're going to be taking to a Mexican work in Brighton, Colorado. And it's a new work getting started. He gave me a call. He said, Brother Bailey, we need a bus. We need some vans. And we need chairs. Can you help us out? And I said, well, I don't have a bus. I don't have any vans. But I think I know where I can get some chairs. And so the Lord's worked it out. I was able to go ahead and get chairs. So we're going to be taking them to that new work probably this Thursday or next Thursday or Friday, dropping them off for them. And they're going to be thoroughly enjoyed to go ahead and get those chairs. So some of the chairs I picked up from y'all, and so that's where they're heading out to. They're going to be sat on with Mexicans getting preached at. And Holy Spirit's going to be convicting hearts. And some of them Mexicans are going to be getting saved. So think about it when you think about them chairs. So we appreciate it very much. So this is what we're doing. Any questions about our work? On our display board, we do have some brochures out there. Feel free to pick one up. Also, there's a jug there. It's our ministry jug. That's for free will love offerings. If you'd like to help out with our trip expenses, this circuit, I'm on the road for 7 weeks. And so that helps out with the fuel, the diesel fuel, helps out with meals, maintenance of our vehicles. And also, I am trying to raise money for a better camper for my truck. I've got a picture of one. The one I have right now is a late 80 model. I've got windows screwed in so they don't fall out. I've got a hole in the bathroom floor. I've got soft spots on the other floor. Ceiling is warping a little bit because roof leakage. Refrigerator door does not stay shut, so I got a rubber strap around it so it stays shut. It's wore out. Needs to get replaced. And the newer ones, they've got slide outs, which just give me so much more room. They've got a propane generator. Refrigerator is about 50% bigger, and freezer is about 75% bigger than what I got right now. So it's something that we need. I live in that camper 6-7 months out of the year. That is my home. Unless I get my wife mad at me, and then it's longer. Y'all are supposed to laugh. You can laugh. Okay. But anyway, it is a need. So I'd like you to pray for God's provision of that. I don't care how He does it. But it is something that I definitely do need. Any questions about the work? Any questions at all? All right. Yes. So, yep. Homeless. Yep. Those are the ones we're talking about. Good question, though. Any other questions? All right, good enough. What I'm going to do, since there's so many of y'all that don't know me or did not know me, I think what I'm going to do is just kind of reintroduce the ministry, if you don't mind, preacher, to the church. That way they will be aware what we're doing is a biblical ministry and we're just not getting rich and getting fat. I am getting fat, but that all right with y'all? So we're going to... let's see. Let's get over there to Matthew. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, in verse number 18. Y'all know this is a great commission. It says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things. All things. Not some things, but all things. It is the job of pastors to teach all things that Jesus Christ taught His disciples. Let's look at Luke chapter 12 in verse number 33. Luke chapter 12 in verse number 33. Jesus here was speaking, and Jesus told His disciples, Sell that you have and give alms. Almsgiving was taking care of the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans, as well as strangers that went through their towns. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So here we have Jesus teaching His disciples to sell what you have and give alms. Sell what you have and take care of the poor. Now, did the early church actually take Jesus literally at this teaching? Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts in chapter 2. In verse number 41. Now, this is on the day of Pentecost, and this is when the church was empowered by the Holy Ghost. It says, Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. They got saved. They got baptized, just what Matthew 28 taught. And the same day, there were added to them about 3,000 souls. That's what y'all do here. You go out, you soul win, you get people saved, you bring them to church. They follow in baptism and church membership, just like the Bible teaches. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, when you continue steadfastly in something, that means you don't quit. You don't get burnt out. You don't get mad at the preacher because he says something and you go to some other church. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Where do you think they got that idea from? How about from over there in the teaching of Christ in Luke chapter 12? And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of hearts. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. The same church, but under persecution. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, here you had a prayer meeting, and when they got through praying, the place, the Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, being filled with the Holy Spirit is what we need in our lives today. This is what's missing in most saved people's lives, is being filled with the Spirit. There are certain biblical characteristics when people are filled with the Spirit. We've got a bunch of stuff going around today that's unbiblical. But let's see right here, when they were filled with the Spirit, let's see how they acted. First of all, it says they spake the Word of God with boldness. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I need the Holy Ghost's help out on soul winning. It's scary. Go out there, knock on doors, you don't know who's behind that door. Or sometimes, you know, for me, it's scary to be in church. And a new church especially, you know, you don't know where they stand, and you don't really know what they believe or practice, and it's scary. And I need the filling of the Spirit when I stand before people. It says also, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. One heart, one soul, that means unity. Unity. Man, how many churches do you know today that's full of unity? This is a characteristic of being filled with the Spirit of God, and we need it today. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Boy, how often do we find that in today's churches? Not too often. The general attitude today is, hey, this is mine, you can't have it, keep your hands off of it. But that wasn't the attitude of those Christians back then. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that was sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Boy, when was the last time you yourself sold anything to go ahead and bring to the church to help meet the needs of somebody else? That's what they did. Some of them people, they were so concerned about the needs of others not being taken care of, they sold their property and they sold their houses, and they brought the money to the church. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, these are characteristics of people filled with the Spirit. Let's look at the same church, but with sin in the camp. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, what we have here is the Grecians, the Gentile widow women, were being shortchanged of the daily ministration. The Hebrew women were being taken care of, but not the Gentile women. Now, what daily ministration were they being neglected in, do you think? How about over there in Acts chapter 2 where it talks about breaking bread from house to house? See, my friends, they made sure that the widow women were being provided for. But because of the sin of prejudice, the Gentile widow women were being shortchanged. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, that we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Myself, I believe these were the first deacons here. And their job was to wait on the tables. Wait on the tables. Make sure that the widow women were being taken care of properly. Let's look at Acts chapter 11. We've looked there at the Jewish church there at Jerusalem, but let's look at the Gentile church. Acts chapter 11, in verse number 26. "And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Now, Christians, what does that word mean? Christ-like? Okay. So do you think we ought to find some Christ-like characteristics about these Christians in Antioch? "And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar." Now, great dearth, folks, is famine. It's famine. Hard times. "Then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, determined or made up their mind to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." So here you have these Christians. When they heard about the famine that was going to happen, even though they were going to go through that famine themselves, they were concerned about others going without. And so they went ahead, and every man, according to their ability, they didn't try to keep up with the Joneses, but they gave according to their ability. Every man gave, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did. Boy, I like it when someone makes up their mind and then they do it. Don't you? Right? Boy, don't you like it, preacher, when someone comes to church and says, "Man, I believe God wants me to do this," and then they never do it? Boy, that just tickles you to death, don't it? Right? No, we all like it when people say they're going to do something and then they're going to do it. We like that. "Which also they did, and sent it to the elders," or to the pastors of those churches, "by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Who was Barnabas and Saul? Weren't they local church missionaries? Sure they were. See, folks, this is exactly what we're doing with the Helping Hands Ministries. We go ahead and take in supplies to these churches. We don't go to an area and just open up the tailgate of our trailer and pass out care boxes. Because where are you going to send someone if you're privileged enough to lead them to Christ? Go to the church of your choice? Don't think so. At least not this old boy. I'm kind of prejudiced in where I send people to go to church at. Okay? Folks, this is what we do. We go to churches, and then the pastors of the churches go ahead and distribute the supplies amongst the people as they see fit. It is a local church outreach. Let's look at Galatians in chapter 2, verse 10. Galatians in chapter 2 and verse number 10. Well, let's get there in verse number 9. "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." Now, again, Paul, Barnabas, Saul, Barnabas, they were missionaries. Okay? So here you have a church, giving the right hand of fellowship, sending them out of the church. It says in verse 10, "Only they would that we should remember the poor." Remember the poor. What do you think that means? Okay, Paul, Barnabas, in your prayer time every day, make sure you pray for the poor people. Or do you think it might mean, hey, you two, on your mission trips, take care of the poor. Help them out. What do you think it means? I believe it means the latter, don't you? The same which I also was forward to do. Let's look at Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse number 25. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. So here you got a ministry of Paul. Think you can go wrong by following Paul's footsteps? I don't think so. For it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints, which are saved people, which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. Y'all understand what a debtor is, don't you? A debtor is somebody that owes something to somebody else. Now, I'm a debtor. I owe a bank. I don't even know where they're at. But every month they send me a bill, a truck payment for that Dodge truck out there. And especially being a Christian, it's my responsibility to pay that bill every month. Now, I'm a debtor to that bank. Now, if I don't pay that debt, what are they going to do? If they can find me, they're going to repo it. Right? That's why I stay gone all the time. You know, 1 foot ahead of the bank. No, I don't do that. That's what a debtor is. Some of y'all are debtors. It goes on and says, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things. What does it mean to become partakers of spiritual things? That means to get saved. To get saved. It says their duty. Boy, there's a four-letter word we don't like to use too often, and that is the word duty. Duty. Duty, folks, is your responsibility at the place of work. What you are expected to do. What they require out of you. All of you have got duties, don't you? If you got a job. Right? Okay. Now, boy, I like to pick on people, but I don't know if I can pick on anyone here or not. I'm going to take a chance, if you don't mind. All the way in back there with a gray shirt on. Great sweat. No, you, yeah. Do you have a job, sir? Do you have a job? No. Do you hold down a job? Do you have certain duties to perform in that job? All right. Now, what's going to happen to you if you don't perform those duties? You get fired. And then you've got to go home and explain to your... Well, let's see. I see you got your children there with you. How about your wife? Where's she at? Oh! See, folks, that's called trying to make brownie points. But anyway, you got to explain to your wife why you lost your job. And then you're going to get acquainted with Mr. Rolling Pin again, aren't you? You see that shiny spot up there in front, folks? That's not natural for him. No, she doesn't use a rolling pin on him. Frying pan? I'm teasing you, brother. But I'm saying this. If we don't perform our duties, there's a price to pay, isn't there? Right? There's a price to pay. Let me try to illustrate it this way. I've had two boys in Marines. They did 5 tours over in Iraq. One of them I just found out when he was on guard duty. His orders was to shoot anybody that comes towards this gate. Nobody is allowed past you. There was a mentally retarded boy in that village. And he was walking towards that gate. A son told him to stop numerous times. He kept walking. Now his duty was to shoot. He had to make a decision. He performed his duty. He shot that boy. And then when they checked that boy out, he was wrapped with explosives. Now, if my boy didn't perform his duty, that boy would have entered the compound and blown up numerous Marines. There's a price for not doing your duty, isn't there? How about here? It says, after they get saved, their duty. Let's read with me in that verse. Their duty is also to minister unto them in spiritual things. So after you get saved, you got a God-given duty to minister unto people in spiritual things. Is that correct? No, that's not correct. What does the Bible say? Who? Carnal things. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's not good enough to be a pastor. It's not good enough to be a preacher. It's not good enough to be a bus driver, a van driver, Sunday school teacher, junior church worker, bell ringer. It's not good enough to be a prayer warrior. It's not good enough to minister unto people spiritually only. We have got a God-given, biblically-based duty, job, responsibility to minister unto one another in carnal things. Right? Sure enough, in carnal things. And I like it because that's something everybody can do. Little children can do it, all the way up to the oldies. They can do it. I know I got to shut up. I want to use one more verse. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 28. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Now, why does God want you to work with your hands the thing which is good instead of stealing? That he may have to give to him that needeth. Right? Anyway, preacher said shut up by 8, so I need to shut up. I hope you realize that this Helping Hands ministry is a biblical ministry. It's not just something man's made up. It's something that this book teaches. And only eternity is going to show the souls that's gotten saved. From churches like you that's given to us, so we have to give to others. And we sure enough do appreciate your prayers and the items that you give us. Pastor, thank you so much.